We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us, everybody. We've got Major Garrett coming our way before this hour is over. Plus, the Wizard, Ozzie Smith's going to be in the house. And lots to follow on the Voice of St. Louis. It's really jam-packed for the next 2 hours. The Charlie Brennan Show with Amy Marks Coors. Good morning, Amy, once again.
Good morning, Charlie.
So there is a video out there about armed robbery at Behrman's Tavern on Merrimack yesterday at about half past midnight. And they show one guy. Everyone hits the floor except one guy named Tony, who is still sitting on a bar stool. And I just talked to one of those involved during the news at the top of the hour. And apparently, I don't know if many of our listeners have seen this, but it's not what it appears to be. Tony looks like he is as cool as a cucumber, and right. He doesn't care if anybody's walking around with a firearm. Turns out Tony has some he's dealing with things, mental things. And he's dealing with some serious depression.
Right, because when you see the video, and again, this gunman comes in with this, it looks like some type of assault rifle, and everyone at the bar, you know, drops down below the bar, under their stools, and Tony just sits there, and at first it looks like stunning braggadocio, like he's just going to sit there and be brave, and your initial response is, this is awesome, this video is going to go viral. But then when the true story behind it is actually quite sad.
Yeah.
As Charlie mentioned, Tony's dealing with some things. And so it's not the cavalier display that it looks like.
Exactly. But at first, you're right. I think, oh, man, this is the toughest dude I've ever seen in my life. Okay. And he might be. He might be. There's a guest column in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch written by Mary Pat Carl, who ran for circuit attorney but lost to Kim Gardner. And this story actually involves a member of the KMOX family. So let's get to that because I think it's quite interesting. We've been talking in the past couple of days. Why is it with all the homicides in St. Louis, no one is coming forward and snitching and providing information to the police? And we've had police officers and the police chief on this program and elsewhere saying, please come forward with information. And to sweeten the pot, Rex Singfield has thrown in $25,000 to anybody who comes forward. And we still have crickets. People in the city of St. Louis are reluctant to drop a dime, as they say, to try and give information to the police that'll be useful. So this Mary Pat Carl, who is now with Hush Law Firm, says the reason is the current circuit attorney is only successfully prosecuting 20% of her murder cases. Mm. Her predecessor, Jennifer Joyce, successfully prosecuted 80%. And so with one out of five murderers on trial getting convicted and four out of five walking, Mary Pat Carl, who is not available to join us today, said, no wonder people aren't coming forward.
Right. Why would you risk your life, your safety, the safety of your family, to give information about these criminals who have committed violent assaults, rape, murder, knowing you're putting yourself at risk when those criminals may not even be prosecuted or charged?
Right. Can you imagine, let's say you're giving testimony to the police or to the circuit attorney's office, and then the perpetrator walks.
Yeah.
Who's that perpetrator going to go after?
Or in a case of the Ballpark Village killing, Scotty Joseph Lee, he'll be out in 4 years.
Oh, correction. Mary Pat Carl takes a look at that. She says with the time he's already served, he's going to be out in two. Now,
2 years.
He's the guy who was at Ballpark Village and then went into his car, got a firearm, came back, and shot and killed a guy who was celebrating his 38th birthday According to Mary Pat Caro, with the time served that he's already been in jail, he will be out within 2 years.
And he was charged with first-degree murder, and 2 years is all he gets. Why would you step forward and put yourself at risk?
Now, there's also a line here from Mary Pat Carl, former candidate for circuit attorney. She used to work at the circuit attorney's office. She's a partner at Hush Blackwell. She says the circuit attorney Gardner is using her Twitter account to personally attack those who ask legitimate questions. And she's really talking about Jane Duker, who, of course, is part of the Reardon Roundtable and a contributor here on KMOX. We'll see if we can get her on the air, because Duker has been saying, why have you not filed charges against this guy who has admitted, who has confessed to killing the 7-year-old?
Yeah.
And as a result, Kim Gardner tweeted back, hey, you got to get a life. Why don't you get some friends and quit sitting in your house tweeting? And I think that is actually a legitimate question for, not Kim Gardner's, but Jane Duker's.
Jane took a left turn I wasn't expecting.
Jane Duker has asked a legitimate question.
Yes.
Why hasn't the circuit attorney's office proceeded with charges against someone who has confessed? That's a fair question.
And what's so ironic, or you could say hypocritical, is that Kim Gardner campaigned on building trust and witness cooperation. She promised there would be increased witness cooperation if she were circuit attorney. She also campaigned on diversion programs, saying, okay, we are going to cut down on crime. We are going to screen people who are potential candidates. Diversion candidates have decreased by one-third.
Hmm.
A one-third drop in her first 2 years. Her predecessor screened 400 candidates for diversion programs in her first year.
With us on the line right now is Jane Duker.
Good morning.
What did Kim Gardner tweet about you, that you need to get some friends? Is that true?
It was a very bizarre. I was actually having a discussion with her spokesperson, and then all of a sudden, out of the taxpayer, you know, paid for Twitter account, she just, you know, says that, all I'm asking is please explain why you haven't charged someone who has admitted to killing a 7-year-old child. And, I mean, I think it's a legitimate question. And so she told me that, you know, I needed to, the Twitter account, the circuit attorney's Twitter account told me to get more friends. I'd be happier.
Well,
that's professional.
If your only friend is Mark Reardon, I would agree.
Well, you know, that is a whole different issue.
Right.
I have some social worker in me. That's why I hang out with Mark.
It's a community service. It's your devoting time. Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I'm collecting chips.
I think it's a real fair question, though. If the man who shot a 7-year-old has already confessed, that would seem to be a person who could be charged.
I agree. And, you know, and I think, you know, the rumblings are that he's claiming self-defense. And, you know, you just do the, I didn't mean to shoot the 7-year-old defense. And the problem with that is, I mean, even if he was making a claim that someone was shooting at him, which there really isn't any evidence of that, you don't get to shoot a 7-year-old. Your self-defense doesn't apply to a 7-year-old playing, you know, in the backyard.
And isn't it true that under Missouri law, if you do intend to shoot one person but then accidentally kill another, you're still responsible for the same level of murder? It doesn't mitigate your charges at all.
Correct. It's called transferred intent, and that is what it is. But transferred self-defense doesn't apply. I mean, and he shot more than one person. And what is also not been really reported is there were other people around. Four people could have gotten shot. That's the danger, is when you're, you know, and the two people shot were not really close to one another.
Well, what did you think of the column today, if you saw it, by Mary Pat Carl, who said that, you know, no one's going to come forward as long as the local circuit attorney is only successfully prosecuting 1 out of 5 homicide cases?
I agree. And I think, so for example, the Xavier Uzanga case, you know, the community did its job. The witnesses came forward. They all, you know, talked. They all did what they were supposed to do. The police did their job. I mean, if the police hadn't quickly found this guy, he had already stolen $50,000 and he was on his way out of town. And so the quick police work captured him before he was able to leave, and everybody did their job. So she really does need to do her job, because otherwise, why would witnesses come forward if they think that it's not going to matter? And so, yes, I agree with that 100%.
And the circuit attorney did tweet on August the 16th, "We are getting word that some people are frustrated that we haven't filed charges in the homicide of Xavier Usanga. We have been working closely this week with both the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department and the U.S. Attorney's Office on this matter." And
she's bailing to let the U.S. Attorney handle this. I mean, the U.S. Attorney is desperately trying to keep this guy, you know, locked up on the theft of $50,000 charge, because he ought not be in the community. And the idea, and I saw another statement that she put out, that they, you know, need enough evidence to convict at trial. That's not the standard. The standard is probable cause. And, you know, the community is entitled to know, just because he's put away on another charge, you know, doesn't alleviate the absolute necessity that the community know that someone who killed a child in their community is going to be held accountable. I mean, I'm concerned that she will never charge.
And that's, you know, that's and people will just forget about it. Yeah.
And people will forget about it, which is really not helpful for the community.
Okay, Jane Duker, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to hearing you on the Reardon Roundtable tomorrow at 2 right here on KMOX.
Bye-bye, guys.
All right, thank you so much. From St. Louis to Washington, D.C., we go, and we find the pride of the University of Missouri, Columbia. Go Tigers. Major Garrett, the host of Mr. Trump's Wild Ride, actually the author of that and the host of the Takeout Podcast. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
Good, good, good. And I don't even know where to begin. Every week seems to have four or five major stories, where, as in the past, you know, you might get one great story out of the White House every 2 weeks, right?
Right, yes. But first, wait a minute. Let's not skip over last week. How did you like the Gettysburg Ron Maxwell show?
I didn't listen to it yet.
Oh,
I'm going
okay.
to. I was out of town, and I was very bit. Usually, my listening to your podcast is on the weekends, and I spent the last weekend taking. Now I'm going to pull at your heartstrings, taking our youngest to college.
Very good. I know what that's like. That's really important. You are forgiven.
And by the way, because we were talking about this off the air, I think. Gettysburg is an important topic, of course, part of the Civil War. Is it my understanding that some people think that it's actually inappropriate to kind of study the Civil War, that it's kind of out of fashion and politically incorrect?
Well, you will hear in the show Ron Maxwell, who was the writer and director of that movie, say that making movies about the Civil War is a full contact sport. And I asked him why he used that phrase, and he goes on to explain that it's just very fraught political terrain, that if you're curious about the Civil War, you must at some level be curious about slavery, but not necessarily the level of condemning it in every respect and only thinking about the Civil War through the lens of slavery and that lens only. And if you in any way portray those who fought for the Confederacy as having anything other than the most base, noxious, and unforgivable motives, then you're somehow supporting or intellectually giving some kind of tolerance to the underlying human rights offense of slavery. He doesn't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe you have to look at our history in its totality and look at all the players and actors, meaning in the movie, but actually representing characters who were real-life figures, enormous figures in American history, and evaluated across the board. And Ron Maxwell says when he tries to do that, he oftentimes is criticized for being curious about this very underlying subject. He just says it's fraught political terrain. It's a part of the conversation about the movie and just Civil War history itself.
Now, is it also true that visitors or visits to Gettysburg are way down?
I don't know if they're way down, but they're down noticeably. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, this idea that maybe it's just not culturally proper these days to be interested in the Civil War for the reasons I just mentioned, though I disagree with those. The other thing is our national parks compete against one another. They're beautiful, lovely places. And in the selfie culture that we now live in, other national parks are more suitable for spectacular, memorable selfies. Gettysburg isn't. Gettysburg is a place where you go to understand probably three of the most significant days in American history, but it's not as beautiful, it's not as exquisite a backdrop for your favorite kind of either dawn or dusk selfie as some other national parks might be. That has also something to do with it.
Wow, what a great testament to the narcissism of our country. That's Narcissists United.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
So, you know, the New York Times now has their 1619 project where they're looking at the history of slavery, and there has been an increased direct narrative about slavery now, whether it's how we teach slavery or the impact of slavery and what have you. And while I do think some of those arguments are valid, that we can reassess how we look at slavery, as off to the side, does it feel that the Civil War, and specifically the men and women who died fighting against slavery, are somehow having their legacy erased?
Well, erased is a very big word, and it would be a tragedy if anything about the Civil War on either side was erased. I mean, I agree with the historian Shelby Foote, who wrote a three-volume series of books on the Civil War. You cannot understand America, and you can't understand American history if you don't understand the Civil War. Everything that we have become was decided at the Civil War. Did we become all the things we want to be? No. But we decided two enormous issues, the end of slavery and the preservation of the Union. Yes, was there 100 years thereafter of Jim Crow segregation? Yes, there was. Are we still living with the repercussions of that? Yes, we are. But you can't also look at the history of slavery and not understand that this country was founded in a way to correct that original mistake. Our founding documents held us to a higher standard. Martin Luther King Jr. helped us see that that higher standard was achievable. And we found a way through lots of argumentation and a lot of Southern resistance for a long time. You can't ignore that. But we got to a place where we lived up more fully to those founding documents. But without those founding documents, what would there be to live up to? And I think some people who look at the 1619 Project feel that there is less, if not emphasis, less appreciation for the aspirations of those founding documents. And that's what grates them about this project and about this conversation, that there's not enough appreciation for how this country was founded and how we were able over time, though not rapidly enough, I think we would view in retrospect, to achieve many of the aspirations of the founding documents.
This is Major Garrett, our chief Washington correspondent. Of course, that's the episode of the podcast that's still up there, but starting tomorrow, a whole new podcast, and that will include
a woman named Natasha Cloud. Who is she? Well, she's a starting point guard for the Washington Mystics, WNBA team here in Washington. Now, you might reasonably ask yourself, why would you put her on your show? What has she got to do with politics? Well, she's an athlete who's taken a stance against gun violence here in the D.C. area, and very specifically, why? Well, the Mystics recently moved out of the beautiful downtown arena here and moved to a smaller arena in Anacostia, across the Anacostia River in southeast Washington, D.C. As part of their community outreach, the team and Natasha Cloud went to an elementary school for reading, which athletes do all the time. And she met the principal, who told her, well, we have three bullet holes in our school. She said, what? Yeah, we have three bullet holes in our elementary school, all within the last couple, 3 weeks. And she said, that's outrageous. How can these kids function? How can they concentrate if there are bullet holes in their school? Principal said, well, it's kind of difficult. So Natasha Cloud got her teammates to agree with her on a tactic. And the tactic was this. In post-game interviews, they don't talk about the games. They only take questions about how to address gun violence in southeast Washington, D.C. This is part of the reason I brought her on, to talk about athletes who look at problems, who jump out of the athletic realm and try to talk about them in a either political way or solutions way. That's a conversation with an athlete who's a real star, big star in the WNBA, trying to do something in the community in which she plays and now lives.
Rather extraordinary. Looking forward to that for sure. It's the Takeout Podcast by our guest, Major Garrett, the chief Washington correspondent for CBS News and also the author of Mr. Trump's Wild Ride. Is Mizzou playing this weekend?
It sure is.
Wyoming?
Playing in Wyoming.
Oh, Laramie. I pity the fools. Thank you. So, the Wyoming fools, that would be.
Yeah, which fools are you talking about, Charlie? Yeah.
Anyone who's playing Mizzou this weekend.
Exactly.
I pity you. Okay, thank you so much. Well, we were just talking to Major Garrett, who is in this week's podcast, interviewing a point guard for the women's professional basketball team in Washington, D.C., and this is really extraordinary. She mentioned that, he mentioned that it's now practice for that team after the games during the typical locker room Q&A. They don't talk about the X's and the O's and what went on the court. They will only talk about what's going on in the urban area and what's affecting our children. That after her visit to a school where she saw gunshots in the door. And now let's come to St. Louis. What are our local athletes doing here? Now, this is extraordinary, and you didn't have this 50 years ago. You got Aeneas Williams, the NFL Hall of Famer, working with the kids. Jackie Joyner-Kersee has her youth center in East St. Louis. Kyle McClellan is building housing in North St. Louis. And Ozzie Smith, the Wizard and Hall of Famer, who is with us in the studio, is heading up PGA Reach. It's a foundation also helping the kids. What a positive, great trend this is, and we're so thankful. I was going to say Mr. Wizard.
I've been called worse.
Mr. Smith, good morning. Welcome.
Thanks, Sean. How are you?
Now, that frozen custard, Mr. Wizards, that is not yours, right?
No, that's okay. Not mine, yeah, Charlie, yeah. No.
Tell our listeners about PGA Reach.
Well, PGA Reach, this is our 10th anniversary, and what we've tried to do each year is help programs that were at the origin of it. It was to help programs that were already in place, but just needed some financial assistance to get them where they like to be. So, what we've done is try to help them from a financial standpoint. We're not reinventing the wheel, and here again, it's all about educating kids. That is the bottom line. It's educating kids. We use golf as a hook, but it's about keeping kids in school. And we realize in talking to the superintendent of schools that kids get in trouble because of idle time. And so golf being a time-consuming sport, we felt was the best way, if we could get them interested, to spend a lot of that idle time. So trying to put things in a nutshell here and not carry on too long here, the long-range goal is to build a facility in the inner city that would house these kids and help them with all of the things that go on in life, all of the skills that you need to have a successful life. And so hopefully that will happen here in the very near future. We have the Carter Carburetor, where the old Carter Carburetor plant was. We're just finishing up with the environmental, getting that completely cleaned up. Right across the street from Herbert Hoover's Boys Club, which sits on the grounds of Old Sportsman's Park up north there. So, you know, there's some synergy and a tie there, and hopefully in the very near future we'll be able to see that come to fruition. And looking forward, just doing my part to try and make the city that I live one that I can be proud of.
And did you help? You were the brainstorm behind this with the CEO of the PGA leading up to the 2011 PGA Championship.
Yes. Jeffrey Kriefel, who has now moved on to bigger and better things, you know, he's at Congressional now.
Oh, yeah.
But he was the GM at Belrive at the time, and he spent, part of his afternoon in the basement creating the concept of PGA Reach. And PGA Reach now has been adopted by PGA of America and stuff. So that originated right here. And it was the impetus for us being able to get the 100th PGA Championship, which we all enjoyed last August.
So is there going to be a golf component at the former Carter Carburetor?
Yes, there'll be a golf component. There'll be a total learning, you know, STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, math, all of those things to to assist kids. And what we've done in the meantime, while we're waiting to start building this facility, is Best Buy has teamed with us, and they have a Best Buy Tech Center in Herbert Hoover's Boys Club, which we've helped build out, which is now entertaining kids and has been a big hit. And so we're trying to do our part in making sure that the kids have something up north there that they can wrap their arms around and be proud of.
And you talk about golf being a time-consuming sport, which it is, but it's also uniquely suited for these kids who have gone through, many of them have gone through traumatic experiences in their home, because the game of golf is so quiet and so still and requires focus. Are they finding that it almost has a therapeutic effect to help help calm the chaos?
Well, really, it does. You know, not only for the kids, but for me too. You know, I love hitting, and it's very therapeutic for me. But here again, it teaches you life skills. You know, the game really, it teaches you respect, that honesty, all of the things that it takes to be successful in life. You know, so I think it's an important part of what we do. We use it as the hook, but it's really about keeping those kids in school.
It's really extraordinary. I mean, what the athletes are doing today. I don't think we saw this 30 years ago. Am I wrong?
Maybe. Well, you know, I think there's always been athletes who have been interested in doing these things. And sometimes they go under the radar, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
They go under the radar. And a lot of people don't do it for the publicity that goes along with it. They do it out of the goodness of their heart. And I think, you know, when you talk about Aeneas and you talk about Jackie, you know, they're doing it because they want to do it. It's in their heart. And stuff. And I think that's what makes this place so special, that we have people like that who are willing to take the time and spend the time with these kids at trying to get it right. You know, there's always been a bad mark here in St. Louis. We've gotten a bad mark as far as things are concerned. And then we have these kids that are getting, these young kids, 14, I think, young kids have been killed here within the last 2 or 3 months. And you know, we've got to do something about getting these guns off the street. You know, more guns is not the answer, and it's not about taking guns from anybody, because, you know, people that own guns are probably very responsible. But these rogue guns and stuff, and some of the weapons that are out there on the street need to be taken off the street. And, you know, we're just trying to do our part to help get that back in order.
Can't have firearms in the wrong hands.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, and that's really what we're talking about, firearms in the wrong hands, and making sure that people that do own firearms, they're responsible. And I think the majority of people are, but then, you know, some of these weapons that are made for war should not be on the streets, and should not be on our city streets.
Let me ask you what's going on to raise money for PGA Reach later this month.
Well, the 22nd, this is our 10th anniversary, and we celebrate, as my phone goes off here, we celebrate every year with a gala. And my gala is a round table where, you know, we have dinner, we have an auction. This year we're adding a magician, and I'm also having my special guest this year is Jim Furyk. You know, I've had Bo Jackson, I've had Dr. J, I've had Hank Aaron, I've had Eddie Murray, I've had Cal Ripken, I've had Marcus Allen and Eric Dickerson. So the list goes on. The list grows this year with it being the 10th anniversary with Jim Furyk.
And is it also true Jeffrey Osborne is on the program?
Jeffrey Osborne's going to be here. I've been attending there.
On the Wings of Love.
On the Wings of Love. Yeah. If you come, you might get a chance to hear that. On the Wings of Love. That's all I'm going to give you.
That's good.
That's a tease.
You're no Nico.
That's a tease. I'm not a Nico.
Hey,
that's good. That's good. That's good with y'all.
No, you do have a beautiful voice, and I can recall you used to perform at the Muni.
I did. I had a couple stints at the Muni. The first one was a cameo in Damn Yankees, and then I did with Jeannie Trevor, we did The Muni Goes British, And then I was the Wizard and the Wizard of Oz.
That's right.
So I've had three stints there.
Shouldn't there be some kind of regulation on talent that one person can have no. so much? Like, save some for the rest of us. No. Jeez Louise.
I know. We're all feeling pretty inferior here.
I feel pretty bad about myself right now.
I know. And then as if playing baseball and being a Gold Glove shortstop right. wasn't enough and, you know, winning World Series, he also did backflips, you
well,
know?
Yeah. It's like, you know, that was just something I did as a dumb kid, you know, that stuck with me throughout my life and ended up being my trademark, but I don't know. I just do what I do.
you know, they're still going with it because in the Stranger Things night at Busch yeah. Stadium, they got a T-shirt with you upside down.
Yeah. My son wears that all the time. Yeah.
Very cool.
Said, Dad, who's this?
Where will the gala be on the 23rd of September?
The 22nd will be at the Ritz.
At the Ritz.
Ritz-Carlton. And you don't have to be a golfer to come to the gala. You know, the gala is one that is now turned out to be a very, very special event because what we do is we sit and we have a round table. It's just me and my guests sitting, talking about sport, life, all of the things that interest people. And I allow the audience to ask some questions as well, you know, near the end of the event. And this year, as I said, we're adding I go to the American Century every year up in Lake Tahoe. And they have a magician there that's just amazing. And I was able to lock him in this year as well.
Excellent.
So he's going to be there entertaining during before dinner and during the auction. And then Jeffrey Osborne is coming and is going to sing a couple tunes for me and stuff. So we've become very good friends over the years. And so it should be a fun evening. As I said, they're going. The tables are starting to go pretty quick. The golf is just about done. You know, there's only a few spots left on that. And as you can imagine, it went pretty quick.
So why don't we take a quick break here? And but before we do, do you have a website or a phone number for tickets or information?
OzzySmithGolf.com. Real simple.
OzzySmithGolf.com. And we'll come back, maybe ask a few questions about the game of baseball or other matters. Ozzie Smith is with us this morning on The Voice of St. Louis. Again, it's this 22nd of September for PGA Reach's annual gala at the Ritz. OzzySmithGolf.com. Back in a moment on KMOX.
That's it.
Come on.
No, that's it.
It's good.
Can't give you too much.
Yeah, you got to save it for the 22nd. That's September 22nd, PGA Reach's annual fundraiser headed up by Ozzie Smith, who's given back to the community so much. This is the 10th annual. Jeffrey Osborne's going to be there, and your special guest is...
Jim Furyk. We get to play golf at Meadowbrook on the 23rd, which we didn't mention in the first segment there, but... They're going quick. The foursomes the groups are going quick. So you might want to jump on that pretty quick.
So that's for the golf tournament the next morning.
The next morning at Meadowbrook Country Club.
Excellent.
And as I said, you don't have to play golf to come to the gala.
Ozzie Smith Golf for more information.
And the PGA Reach program, we talked about how it works with kids, but you also have a military branch.
That's right.
As well.
Diversity, you know, the military we found that a lot of these guys, when they come back from war, are shut-ins. Mm. And so now they've found a way to get together with the guys again and have fun, you know. So they're now starting to enjoy getting out and playing golf again. And there's so much equipment and stuff that is built for guys who are missing limbs and everything. And it's a great way to have the camaraderie. And, you know, for us, guys in sports, when we retire, the one thing that we miss the most is the camaraderie. You know, the competition, we find things to compete in, but you miss the camaraderie. And I think that's very, very important for these guys who come back from war with PTSD and all of the things that we don't even think about that happens to them, you know. So talk about therapy. This is really kind of therapy for them, and it's great to have them a part of PGA Reach.
You know, Ozzy, speaking of PTSD, Amy and I talked to an expert last week about PTSD in the urban areas, and apparently among children in our area, the PTSD is worse than returning veterans.
Isn't that something? You know, it's just, it's amazing. But for us, you know, I think, and I'm very proud of this, and you know, my name is on it, but it's really the people that I work with, the staff. Those are the people that really make it happen, to spend time with these guys and, you know, it gives them their life back. And that's very, very important.
Let's talk baseball just briefly before we let you go. We have the Cardinals who've been winning lately. Is this the team, or is the team that couldn't win a game in May? What Cardinal team is out there?
That's kind of been the problem, Charlie, trying to figure that out. But I think they're now starting to find their footing, find their way. I saw Mike Shildt the other day, and, you know, he's been pressing a lot of buttons. And as a manager, you have to press a lot of buttons, and hopefully, you know, you find that button that makes it work. Here lately, it's been working. Hopefully that will continue. The bottom line is that your guys have got to perform. You've got to perform day in and day out. And I think that you now have two or three guys that are starting to do their thing every day and give you that consistency that you're looking for from an organization or certain people within the organization. And it's working. You know, I feel for Mike Shildt sometimes because it's tough when guys aren't performing up to their capabilities, and you have to be creative in the way that you go about putting your lineups together. And it's taken him a long time to finally figure out a lineup that works, where there's continuity. And I think over the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's found some continuity, and hopefully that will continue.
Our fingers are crossed. Don't forget, everybody, it's the 22nd of September for the big gala, the 23rd for the golf tournament for PGA Reach, Ozzie Smith's 10th annual. Thank you so much for joining us again on KMOX.
Thank you, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.